Welcome to Speak Up and Stay Alive Radio with author, speaker, and your host, Pat Rulo. Serving you a generous helping of everything you need to know to help you and your loved ones stay safe during any doctor or hospital visit. The program is not intended to replace medical advice from a licensed professional, but rather to encourage you to become a well-informed participant in your health and well-being. And now, your host, Pat Rulo.
Hello and welcome. I'm Pat Rulo, the voice for patient safety, where each week we delve into little-known healthcare and hospital hazards, as well as other fringe topics that affect your health and well-being. I'm so happy you've taken the time to join me, and today I have lots to share with you. So, let's dig right in, shall we? Fragrance-free is the way to be. Is your health being destroyed by other people's toxic fragrances? Have you ever given any thought to secondhand fragrance contamination? Well, the use of perfume, cologne, air fresheners, and scented laundry products has become so commonplace that the indoor air quality of public places is more toxic than it was when people could freely smoke tobacco wherever and whenever they wished. The term secondhand fragrance is used to describe the combination of smells that are released into the public airspace from the scented products that people use on their skin, hair, and clothing. It also includes products that intentionally add fragrance to the air, such as air fresheners, car fresheners, and scented candles. The fragrances are called secondhand because the decision of one person to use fragrances pollutes the air for everyone. People who don't use fragrances or who can't tolerate them are often then forced to breathe the contaminated air that everyone shares. And this reminds me of the time Bob and I and another couple were eating out at a fondue restaurant in North Carolina. The tables were tight and close together. We were happily dipping our goodies into the different cheeses when the host seated another couple right next to us. This woman screamed of fragrance as she entered the room. The smell grabbed your nose and nearly twisted it off. Before she even sat down, our eyes were watering as a defensive reaction to the pollution. She sat down and we continued to eat. Bob dropped his fork and summoned the waitress. "Can we please move to a different table?" he asked. The waitress looked dumbfounded and so did our guests. I was quite shocked as well that Bob would make such a bold move. He said, "We can't eat with that smell. Everything is beginning to taste like perfume." So with that, the four of us got up, grabbing our silverware, glasses, and napkins, and moved across the restaurant. Now at that time, I just thought it was the smell factor. But now I know. Perfume, cologne, and products that indicate that they contain fragrance are made from a combination of manufactured chemical compounds. Solvents and other chemicals are added to the mixture in an attempt to make the fragrance behave as if it was an essential oil derived directly from a plant. The fragrances in these products are chemical concoctions that are toxic to all people. Almost all perfume and cologne sold today is derived from petroleum and coal tar. They're not made from flowers and sweet-smelling plants, as advertising might suggest. Even very expensive perfumes may be made from 95% synthetic ingredients. So it's just a myth that it's only a smell and it won't hurt you. Any molecular substance that becomes airborne can enter the nasal passages, your nose, and come in contact with receptor sites used for perceiving smell. Some substances bypass the blood-brain barrier and enter the brain. This means that there is a constant flow of substances entering your brain, whether or not your brain can identify the name of the substance or not. And as soon as you smell perfume, air fresheners, scented candles, laundry detergent, or dryer sheets, you've already absorbed them into your body. And this leads me to the use of cell phones, which is known to create tiny holes in the blood-brain barrier, thus allowing more of these toxic chemicals into your brain. Now, the average fragrance product tested contained 14 secret chemicals not listed on the label. Among them are chemicals associated with hormone disruption and allergic reaction, and many have not been assessed for safety in personal care products. And this includes sunscreens, Fragrance secrecy is legal due to a giant loophole in the Federal Fair Packaging and Labeling Act of 1973, claiming that to disclose would be leaking trade secrets. And to make matters worse, the FDA lacks the authority to require manufacturers to test cosmetics for safety, including fragrance products, before they're sold to consumers. As a result, you may be using a perfume, a cologne, a body spray, or other scented cosmetics like lotion and aftershave, and exposing yourself to chemicals that may increase your risk for certain health problems. So let's reveal some popular brands. Secret chemicals. Laboratory tests revealed 38 secret chemicals in 17 brand name products, with an average of 14 secret chemicals per product. American Eagle 77 contained 24 secret chemicals, nearly twice the average found in other products, such as Britney Spears Curious, Calvin Klein Eternity, Hannah Montana Secret Celebrity. Giorgio Armani's Acqua di Gio contained 19 different sensitizing chemicals that can trigger allergic reactions, more than any other product tested. And a total of 12 different hormone-disrupting chemicals were found in the tested products, with an average of 4 in each of these products. Halle by Halle Berry, Quicksilver for men, and Jennifer Lopez J-Lo Glow. In each product, 6 of these chemicals mimic the hormone estrogen, and the 7th is associated with thyroid effects. Now we should figure, the perfume industry is a very big business with extremely high profit margins. They make a lot of money, and they provide high profitability to the retailers who handle their products. The actual liquid in a typical bottle of $150 perfume is less than 1% of the retail cost. The bottle, the box, the display carton typically cost 4 to 6 times more than the fragrance itself. And manufacturers pay premium prices for special stoppers, sometimes as much as for the bottle. They also pay for decorating the bottle and for filling, shipping, and packing it. All these extraneous costs might bring the cost of a filled bottle to about $20. A quarter-ounce bottle of perfume that sells for $150 is a combination of alcohol and chemically transformed petroleum. And sometimes it might contain a tiny percentage of essential oil. Well, translating this into the lives of people, we see that approximately 95 million adults and children in America experience health problems caused by the chemicals that other people put on their skin, their hair, and on their clothing. These chemicals, which include fragrances, cause a variety of negative reactions, including exhaustion, weakness, hay fever symptoms, dizziness, difficulty concentrating, confusion, headaches, rashes, muscle aches, heart palpitations, nausea, stomach cramps, and on and on and on. Babies and children are even more vulnerable to these negative health reactions than are adults. The elderly and people trying to recover from cancer and other serious illnesses are particularly at risk when exposed. But despite this, 85% of women still wear perfume, although that number may be falling. Additionally, over 60% of men use cologne and aftershave. And finally, think about it. Most public restrooms have some type of air freshener, and almost all have scented hand soap. All of this secondhand chemical pollution makes life very difficult for the millions of Americans who become ill when exposed to fragrances. The greatest challenge to cleaning up public air is perfume addiction. Daily users of perfume, cologne, and highly scented laundry products are commonly addicted to the chemicals in these products. This is true for all segments of society, including public health professionals and medical care professionals. The offices of most doctors continue to be saturated with synthetic fragrances from cleaning products, air fresheners, and perfume worn by the staff, even though there is a growing documentation that this presents a problem for some patients. So I'm asking, if you're a healthcare provider, a doctor, a nurse, an aide, a transporter, whatever, please keep this in mind. Don't wear perfumes to work and suggest to the powers that be at your hospital or healthcare facility that you adopt a fragrance-free workplace. Air contamination caused by perfume and cologne and other scented products should not be just another barrier to healing while in the hospital or doctor's office. I mean, whatever happened to the idea of healthcare without harm? How can a sick body heal while bombarded with chemicals, and not to mention microwave radiation given off by wireless technology that abounds in every hospital these days? Well, that's like a 1-2 punch. So here's today's call to action. Whether you feel it or not, why subject your wallet and your body to such high-priced chemicals that do nothing but erode your wealth and your health. I say, become fragrance-free. It's the way to be. Did you know that over 70 hospitals nationwide are using essential oils to fight germs, improve mood, and reduce stress? I'm Pat Rulo, radio host of Speak Up and Stay Alive, Patient Safety Radio, with a new line of essential oils called Tiny Drops. Now you too can have access to these amazing natural health options. For example, you can use lavender to reduce stress, sweet orange to improve your mood, peppermint to improve focus and energy and alleviate those headaches. Tiny Drops, big results. Visit tinydropseo.com. Today, I'm going to lighten the mood a bit and share some little-known facts about a couple of food items. Not so much to blow the top off these particular foods, but rather to get us thinking about what we eat. To get us to ask ourselves, what is this? What is this made of? Why is it called whatever it is called? It's so easy to wander about doing what we do with nary a thought beyond opening the box or a can or a bag and digging in. And later, I have a bit of spy business to share with you. So with that, here's a few products I'm sure you're familiar with, along with a bit of the inside scoop. Let's start with the cereal known as grape nuts. What is a grape nut? Have you ever asked that question? Or like me, have you simply opened the box, poured the little dry nuggets in a bowl, and crunched away? Well, when Karen Gendel, who was the grape nuts senior brand manager in the 1980s, was asked this very same question, she remembers how her staff described it. Grape nuts, she says, was people eating advertising. Grape nuts are made out of lies. Whoa, interesting answer, wouldn't you say? Grape nuts is a wheat and barley cereal developed by C.W. Post way back in 1897. A box of grape nuts actually contains whole grain wheat flour, malted barley flour, isolated soy protein, salt, whole grain barley flour, malt extract, and dried yeast. So just how did grape nuts get their misleading name? According to Post Foods, there are two versions of the story. The most plausible theory is that as Post used maltose in the original recipe, which was called grape sugar, and that's where they got the grape part, the cereal also has a bit of a nutty flavor, which is where nuts came from. Alternatively, some believe that the cereal looks a bit like grape seeds, and those seeds are sometimes termed grape nuts, even though the grape seeds are not nuts. Ironically, in addition to being made of neither grapes nor nuts, grape nuts aren't all that healthy either, although compared to most breakfast cereals, perhaps one can consider them relatively healthy. Back in the day, Post boasted that grape nuts would fill you up, not out. However, it has since been found that the cereal has a glycemic index of 71, higher than such sugary cereals as Fruit Loops and Frosted Flakes. And to give you a point of reference, table sugar only has a glycemic index of 60. So grape nuts is perhaps good for quick energy spike before a morning workout, but the downside is that aside from scenarios like that, the cereal inducing a pretty large blood sugar spike could lead to insulin resistance and later potentially type 2 diabetes. It is also fairly high in calories, leading to a small recommended serving size, which most people, like myself, promptly ignore, filling their bowl up with an absolutely massive amount of calories. And this further can contribute to obesity. Therefore, it's likely going to fill you out along with filling you up. So essentially, as the senior brand manager said, the cereal is a lie. Crunch on that. And speaking of nuts that are not nuts, or in this case, that are in disguise, back in the day, do you remember eating red pistachios? Do you remember how your fingers would end out all red as you struggled to open the tightly closed shells? Did you ever wonder why they were dyed bright red? Or did you ever wonder what you were eating? I know as a kid I never questioned or even thought about why they were red. I just assumed they were born that way. Well, again, here's a scoop. Historically, most pistachios in the United States were imported from the Middle East. The problem was that when they arrived, they tended to have numerous blemishes on the shells, particularly stains left over from the harvesting methods employed in the Middle East. And these stains were not good for marketing purposes, so to get around this, importers devised an idea to not only mask the blemishes, but also to help draw the eye to the pistachios, namely dyeing them red. This all began to change in the 70s when pistachios started to be grown in the United States commercially. Today, the vast majority, almost up to 98% of pistachios sold in the U.S., are grown and processed in California with much better harvesting and processing facilities than decades before in the Middle East. These improved facilities result in fewer blemishes and stains appearing on the pistachios, so there's less need to dye them, which is one of the reasons the practice is dying out. And that's a good thing. Imagine ingesting all of that artificial red dye. Plus, here's a bonus. Now you can sneak eat all of the pistachios you want without the telltale red all over your hands, face, and lips. I wonder what else we're eating right now that we give little thought to. Something to chew on. No pun intended. Well, I have more, but let's take a short break so I can share some of my friends and fellow radio show hosts with you. These gals both host their programs on our very own speakuptalkradio.com. And when we come back, I'm going to answer the question, where's the juice in juicy fruit gum? A question for our times. I'd like for you to meet a fellow radio host whose program is all about keeping our planet safe. And you can listen to her weekly shows at speakuptalkradio.com.
Hi there, this is Mrs. Green, and I would love for you to become a part of my world. Mrs. Green's World is an engaged international community and a global movement of ideas and action made up of people who truly care about their own health and the health of this great planet of ours. In Mrs. Green's World, we don't tell you what to think, we just want you to. Our guests from all over the world will give you plenty of things to think about. Please visit my website at mrsgreensworld.com and become a part of our world.
She is a dear friend of mine with lots to share with you. She even has a book, and you can reach her by phone at 520-230-3977. That's 520-230-3977. Or visit her website, mrsgreensworld.com. Next is another wonderful friend who hosts a radio show about caregiving. She currently is the caretaker for her aging mom, and we connected when I, too, was caring for my mom.
Hi, this is Jana Panaritis, host of the AgeWise podcast, where we hear from the healthcare system's hidden workforce, the millions of family caregivers whose stories of devotion and courage will shock and inspire you. Join me as we shake up the conversation on care, and know you're not alone. Listen to a brand new episode every week at speakuptalkradio.com. To learn more about the show, visit the AgeWise website. That's AgeWYZ.com.
If you or someone you know is in the caregiver role, check out her website and purchase her book. Visit AgeWYZ.com, and that's spelled AgeWYZ, AgeWYZ.com, or give her a call, 800-590-2129. That's 800-590-2129. Now, I want to share a chilling story with you. This winter, our furnace died, and after calling several companies for estimates, I found BNK Heating and Cooling in North Royalton. Their rate was hundreds of dollars less than our best estimate. They came out the next day, and by noon, Bob, the cats, and I were warm and toasty again. Call my new friends at BNK Heating and Cooling, serving Cleveland, Ohio, for all of your heating and cooling needs at 216-210-2529. That's 216-210-2529. Or visit their website, bnkheating.com. All right, we are back. I am Pat Rulo, your hostess, and you are listening to Speak Up Talk Radio, the voice for informed choice. And today I'm sharing some not-so-common questions about popular food items. So what about juicy fruit gum? Does juicy fruit gum actually contain any fruit juice? And exactly, what fruit is juicy fruit supposed to taste like? And does it contain any juice from that fruit? Well, now you'd think that answering that question would be as simple as picking up a pack of juicy fruit gum and reading the ingredients list. But as with most things in life, it's just not that easy. This also isn't helped by the fact that Wrigley, the company who makes juicy fruit, they're similarly coy about discussing what goes into their product, often choosing to refrain from mentioning any specific fruit in regards to its flavoring, and excusing this evasive behavior by stating that the flavor is a trade secret. Well, that said, with a little digging, you'll find that in the past, Wrigley has said that Juicy Fruit contains notes of lemon, orange, pineapple, and banana in response to emails from curious customers asking for more specific information about Juicy Fruit's flavor. Well, again, though, this isn't entirely helpful in discerning whether or not the gum actually contains fruit juice, since science has made it possible to synthesize almost any flavor we want. And perhaps the most incriminating piece of evidence of all about Juicy Fruit's flavor being the result of artificially created chemicals instead of real fruit is that they themselves used to explicitly advertise the artificial flavor of their product as a unique selling point up until a few decades ago. Early packs of Juicy Fruit starting around the 1940s carried the slogan, "The gum with the fascinating artificial flavor," which they used as a way of enticing customers to try it. It's only in recent years, with the trend to avoid artificial chemicals in consumables, that Wrigley has since shied away from advertising the fact that Juicy Fruit's unique flavor is the result of artificially created chemicals. So what exactly is in the gum? All right, the back of the pack says sugar, a sweetening additive, and it's made mainly from sugarcane and sugar beet. And we all know that sugarcane and sugar beets are genetically modified. Enough said. Next is gum base, a mix of raw materials, which are categorized in five classes. Elastomers, which are synthetic rubbers, resins made from terpene resins and polyvinyl acetate, waxes from paraffin or microcrystalline wax, fillers made from chalk or talc, antioxidants such as BHT, and we all know that synthetic ingredients tend to be carcinogenic. Next, we have corn syrup. If it's made from corn, it's most likely genetically modified. Next is dextrose, another sweetener, most commonly corn, again genetically modified. Natural flavors obtained by physical processes from plants or animals. And the health effects of natural flavors are unknown because these ingredients may be altered and therefore rendered unsafe. It should also be noted that the use of the word natural flavors is often used to mask the use of harmful, naturally derived flavors. Next, we have artificial flavors, a synthetic mixture not found in nature, designed to mimic a natural flavor. And did you know that over 1,700 artificial flavors are approved by the FDA? So the health effects, again, are unknown. Companies are not required to identify the various synthetic mixtures used in foods, requiring only that they be listed under the umbrella of the artificial flavors listing. And some individuals are sensitive to artificial flavors, experiencing headaches, nausea, drowsiness, among others. Next ingredient is glycerol, a natural or synthetic petroleum byproduct of soap manufacturing, and may be animal-based, may be corn, peanut, or soy-based, may be genetically modified, and therefore may cause headaches, nausea, elevated blood sugar, and may affect stomach and reproduction. Next is soy lecithin, made from soybean waste and extracted with hexane, a gasoline byproduct through a hexane bath. Also may contain pesticide residues and may be genetically modified. Also, hexane is a known neurotoxin. Our next ingredient is aspartame, the artificial sweetener. We know that the studies have linked this to cancer in rats and may cause neurological and behavioral issues. Next is ace sulfame K, an artificial sweetener that's not digested by the body, eliminated through urine. In animal studies, this has caused lung tumors, breast tumors, respiratory disease, leukemia, and cancer. Then we have yellow 5 lake. It's pigment, the color, done by combining yellow 5, which is a coal tar derivative, with a form of aluminum, calcium, barium, potassium, strontium, or zirconium. Health effects linked to thyroid tumors, chromosomal damage, asthma attacks, hives, hyperactivity. Caution is advised if aspirin sensitive. May contain aluminum, which has been linked with lung and kidney disorders, and Alzheimer's. Next we have BHT, butylated hydroxytoluene. It's an antioxidant made from petroleum, which has been banned in the United Kingdom as a possible carcinogen. And to add insult to this injurious list of fakeness, the Juicy Fruit website has a special link titled "The Benefits of Chewing." Are there really any benefits to chewing artificially sweetened, artificially colored, genetically modified sugar-laden rubber? If they say so, I guess the consumer will believe it. And it takes me to the Uncola. Did you know that the soft drink 7-Up used to include a psychiatric medication as one of its ingredients? Talk about people not questioning what they ingest as they simply take the manufacturer's word that it is safe. The lemon-lime-flavored soda 7-Up was created by Charles Grigg of the Howdy Corporation in 1929, and it was originally named bib-labeled lithiated lemon-lime soda and included lithium citrate in its formula. Lithium citrate is a mood-stabilizing drug that was popular in the late 19th and early 20th centuries and is still used today for people with bipolar disorder, among others. Many of the first sodas to be produced included drugs or metals and were often touted as health drinks. For instance, Coca-Cola originally included coca leaves and contained up to 9 milligrams of cocaine per serving. It was intended to be a cure-all, specifically targeted at curing impotence, indigestion, headaches, nausea, and morphine addiction. Similar to Coca-Cola, 7-Up was originally named after its primary medicinal ingredient, lithium citrate. It was called bib-labeled lithiated lemon-lime soda. Well, obviously, such a lengthy name wasn't ideal on the consumer side of things, who could remember that, so the beverage's name was quickly shortened to 7-Up lithiated lemon soda and then chopped to just 7-Up in 1936. It's not clear where the name 7-Up originally came from, as Grigg never publicly said, except once joking, that he had invented it to cure the 7 types of hangovers that people experience. While others have claimed that the number 7 was a coded reference to the lithium contained in the original recipe, which has an atomic mass of approximately 7. Whatever the case, as for the lithium citrate, surprisingly, this was a surprise to me, it stuck around in the drink all the way until the 1950s, when new research showed that it had dangerous side effects. Well, fast forward to today. You've seen the commercial with 7-Up cans hanging from trees, with the claim that it's now 100% natural. By removing calcium disodium, EDTA, which was a flavor preservative, the new lemon-lime 7-Up is replaced with natural flavors, and you can find 5 ingredients on its ingredient list. Filtered carbonated water, high fructose corn syrup, natural citric acid, natural flavors, and natural potassium citrate. Well, what is natural anyway? The Center for Science and the Public Interest officials say high fructose corn syrup is not natural because you couldn't make it in your own kitchen unless you happen to be equipped with centrifuges, hydroclones, ion exchange columns, and buckets of enzymes. The nonprofit group also objects to scenes in 7-Up's TV ads that depict the cans of soda being picked from trees or harvested from the ground, as there is no fruit juice in 7-Up, and it certainly does not grow on trees. So is natural better? Well, would you pour 15 teaspoons of natural sugar in your bottled water? In the end, the new 7-Up is still a soft drink. In other words, it is still a bottle of sweetened water. Dietary guidelines recommend that we limit added sugars to about 8 teaspoons a day for an average 2,000-calorie diet. One 20-ounce bottle of the new 7-Up contains more than 15 teaspoons. So in wrapping this 7-Up, remember the slogan from 1999 to 2005? Make 7-Up yours. Or was it? Make 7. Up yours. Oh my gosh. Well, again, with that, we're going to need a short break. And let's find out about 2 additional radio show hosts who air their shows on our very own speakuptalkradio.com. And when we come back, I have 2 more thoughts about chips, the kind that goes crunch and the other that tracks your every move. And don't you move. We'll be right back.
This is Susan Marie from The Dougie Diva Show, the show for animal lovers. Please join my canine co-host, the Dougie Diva herself, Miss Olive, and I as we bring the experts in the pet and animal world right to you each week on Speak Up Talk Radio, or please visit us at our website at thedoggiediva.com. Have a great Diva Week, everyone.
That's right. If you want to learn more about how to keep your pets safe and happy, tune into my favorite pet show, The Dougie Diva Show, found at our very own speakuptalkradio.com or visit doggiediva.com. And next is my friend Veronica Entwistle, also a radio host on speakuptalkradio.com. She is an intuitive and energy counselor, and she offers private telephone readings to inspire your change, allowing you to fully harness the potential of your inner self. Visit her website, veronicaentwistle.com. Write it down. 510-595-5564. That's 510-595-5564.
Hello, I'm Veronica Entwistle, host of Paradigm Shifters, sharing the thought processes of more than 200 amazing creators. Tune in and explore the revolutionary and evolutionary minds of inventors, leaders, magicians, artists of all sorts, launching ventures and courageously pushing through limitations in human possibility. Listen to me on Speak Up Talk Radio, iTunes, and my site, veronicaentwistle.com.
Hot. Bring the heat.
And now, back to the show.
Well, we are back with more about chips. I am your hostess, Pat Rulo, and this is Speak Up Talk Radio, the voice for informed choice. I can't take it anymore. I opened my bag of chips, and there are only 9 blasted chips inside. What's going on? Every year, there are less and less chips in my bag, yet the price goes up and the bag gets bigger. Why? Did you ever wonder why? When you open a bag of chips, there's all that empty space where extra chips could be. Do they do that to rob you of snack food? As disappointing as it can be to tear into a bag of Lay's to find empty air where your afternoon snack should be, that extra space in the package is there for a reason. Slack fill is what it's called. Slack fill is an intentional choice by snack makers who want to protect their delicate products from the damage of rough handling during the shipping process. When products are stacked atop one another, crammed into tight spaces, or simply jostled around in the back of a delivery truck, slack fill serves as an air cushion that prevents potato chips from becoming potato dust. And that's not just ordinary air puffing up your potato chip bag. It's nitrogen. Because oxygen can cause the potatoes to spoil and the oil to go rancid, and the humidity found in ambient air makes the chips go soggy. So instead, packages are filled with nitrogen gas to help the snacks stay fresh. Nitrogen flushing isn't harmful in any way, since about 78% of the air we breathe is composed of nitrogen already. However, that does not excuse the sheer proportion of space that gas occupies in a bag that's supposed to be filled with food. Although the Federal Fair Packaging and Labeling Act, passed in 1966, required manufacturers to clearly indicate the net weight of their product's contents to prevent customers from being duped by huge-seeming containers on the shelves, new and improved potato chips, now with 50% more air. Shoppers will automatically assume that larger packaging means more product if they don't look closely at the label. And who does that anyway? So while some extra space in a bag can help keep potato chips fresh and intact, any more than necessary might be the company trying to pull a fast one over us. And actually, there have been many slack fill lawsuits of late, suing over empty space. According to a recent lawsuit, Harris brand potato chips, H-E-R-R-S, Harris brand, leave so much empty space in its bags of chips that the extra room exits the realm of functional slack fill and starts to look more like cold-hearted deception in the eyes of consumers. The amount of space reserved for slack fill in an average bag of Hairs is obviously much more when compared to the same size bag of Ruffles. Nearly 30% empty space for the Ruffles and 54% for Hairs, according to the complaint. That's a huge difference and entirely unnecessary in Hairs' case as far as the lawsuit is concerned. Well, so far, the proposed class action suit only seeks to cover New York and D.C. residents, but if the court sides in favor of the plaintiffs, Harris customers may be finding more chips and less empty space sometime in the future. So, is it a conspiracy to rob us of our snacks? Do we have to add Big Chip to our list of biggies? Oh, we'll see. And, speaking of chips, imagine a day when you can walk into the grocery store, forget the cart and the long lines, just grab a bag and throw your items in it, or heck, stuff them in your pockets, in your purse for that matter. No checkout lines. Simply walk through a scanner, grab your receipt, and walk out. Your bank account will be automatically debited for the amount, and there you have it. What's that, you say? How can this be? Well, this is something we're about to see a lot more of in the coming years as more and more people are becoming microchipped. That's right. The radio frequency identification, RFID chips, are about the same size as a grain of rice and store personal security information which can be transmitted over short distances to special receivers. RFID chips are already found in so many of our cards, including bank cards, and they are similar to the chips implanted in pets. A Belgian marketing firm called New Fusion has microchipped its staff, replacing their traditional ID cards with RFID chips implanted between each employee's thumb and index finger. In 2015, a Swedish company implanted microchips in their staff, which allowed the folks to use the copy machine, open security doors, and even pay for their lunch. More and more companies are going to start implementing their workers with ID chips, too. In fact, at least 10,000 people worldwide have already willingly microchipped themselves, and the practice has progressed to the point that RFID chip implant kits, complete with a sterile injector system, can be purchased online. The U.S. military has already held meetings to discuss the feasibility of microchipping all of its soldiers to be able to track them via GPS. And of course, Big Pharma has to get into the act, working on bioelectronics, implanted microchips that will send electrical signals to various parts of the brain for medical purposes. Sounds good until you initially think about it for more than 2 seconds. And yet, tech experts claim that within 10 years, 50% of Americans will have some type of implant. You might say that sounds crazy, but if you've been to Disneyland or Disney World recently, then you will see how ready and willing people are to scan their fingers and give up their biometric information for convenience. This has been going on since the mid-2000s for guests ages 10 and older. Walt Disney World is now requiring young children aged 3 and up to have their fingers scanned to enter the Magic Kingdom and other theme parks. Because you know how those 3-year-olds love to scam theme parks, right? Disney touts its ticket tag program as a way to prevent people from fraudulently using or sharing tickets, which can cost as much as $124 a day, depending on the season. According to the Walt Disney World website, the system scans a finger and converts the image into a unique numerical value that is tied to the ticket when it is used to re-enter or visit another park. The park doesn't store fingerprints, and it discards the scan immediately, according to the website. Yeah, and I believe that because Santa Claus is coming to town this Christmas. And guests who don't want to participate in the finger scan can visit the park's guest relations department. Oh, that sounds like fun. Come on, kids. Let's spend the day arguing with some robotic Disney soldiers about privacy issues. But apparently the masses, the sheeple, don't mind. The park has already been using the magic bands. Guests who opt to use the waterproof wristbands, which are embedded with computer chips, then use those as their park entry tickets, fast pass, hotel room keys, and a credit card as well. And now Disney is working on a patent for foot tracking to track your each and every step as you wander through the park. And just as a side, if you visited Disneyland, you may have seen a small plane fly overhead at one point. Oh, how exciting! Is it Beyonce? Lady Gaga? No, silly. It's the Anaheim Police Department with military-grade dragnet phone spying equipment, the kind that can suck up your phone's information from an airplane along with thousands of others. Remember a few weeks ago when I shared the scoop on low-flying Cessna airplanes that house cell site simulators? Aerial dirt box surveillance? Stingrays? Ah, enter the Magic Kingdom. So you can see how the old adage comes to reality. Give them an inch and they take a mile, wowing you with smart this and magic that. And here's another way that inch is becoming a mile. The House just passed a vaguely worded bill that will allow the government to microchip citizens, including children with mental disabilities. That's right, and I mentioned this a few weeks ago. The House passed a bill during the holiday season when everyone was too busy to notice that would bring a microchipped population closer to reality before this year's end. The House passed H.R. 4919, also known as Kevin and Avanti's Law, which would allow the U.S. Attorney General to award grants to law enforcement for the creation and operation of locative tracking technology programs. Though the program's mission is to find, quote, individuals with forms of dementia, or children with developmental disabilities who have wandered from safe environments, unquote. It provides no restriction on the tracking program's inclusion of other individuals. And this is to say nothing of the legal and health issues surrounding the implantation of these chips. If you ask me, it's shameless. If, like Disney, you go after kids and you make it fun, use happy words, or if you appear to care about folks with dementia or disabilities, you can introduce a technology that most of us would object to in our everyday lives. But now, people will thank you for the privilege. Pretty smart way to get your foot in the door. Bottom line, unless we speak up and send powerful messages, you can clearly see where this program can be abused by the authoritarians in power. Would I go to Disney and willingly give up my fingerprint to who knows who, to eat overpriced food and get thrown around on a so-called amusement ride sandwiched in between thousands of sheeple? No way. So there you have it. Just a smattering of what we encounter in our everyday lives that go unnoticed. And notice, nothing seems to be in favor of the consumer. Fake cereal names, painted nuts, juice-free synthetic garbage gum, lithium-laced drinks, chipless bags of air, and microchips as a way to track your every action, transaction, and reaction. And it's not just these products and issues I mentioned today. When you take the time to actually stop and think, when you decide to resist the Me Too mentality, you can't help but notice that things are seldom what they seem. And my wish is that it will be enough to inspire you to become an advocate for change. As this radio program's tagline suggests, I hope you too become the voice for informed choice. It's only been within the past 10 years that I decided to remain silent no longer. It started when my mom was in the hospital back in 2008 for shoulder surgery and was then having a heart attack in the recovery room that went undiagnosed for 9 hours. It was then I realized that I had to make a move, and I became a patient advocate. I wrote the book, Speak Up and Stay Alive, The Patient Advocate Hospital Survival Guide, and share what I now know at live speaking events. You don't have to wait for something bad to happen to begin advocating for change. It's never too soon, or too late for that matter, to speak up about things that speak to you. And as I mentioned my book and speaking events, let me remind you to get a copy of the book for yourself or as a gift for someone who may be in the hospital or a rehab facility or nursing home. What you don't know about our healthcare system can kill you, and I don't say that lightly. Visit the website speakupandstayalive.com to get your copy. It's only $20 and could very well be the best insurance you've ever owned. And while you're there, visit my speaking events link and then invite me to speak to your group, your club, business, association, church, or hospital. I can guarantee this. Your crowd will love it. Visit speakupandstayalive.com or call me to order the book and talk about making your next event a life-saving one. 440-725-5462. That is 440-725-5462. All right, we are out of time, but never out of topics. So be sure to come back next week. Same time, same place, but never the same information. Until then, I hope you have a healthy and a happy week. I am Pat Rulo, and I am the voice for informed choice.